In the meetings today that I had with some of you, there was quite a bit of interest in exploring these processes of the aggregates. Some interest and curiosity. What is this appearance? How does it feel? What's being recognized? What are the relationships to it? Gil spoke about this exploration of the aggregates. Could be kind of like playing the scales, getting familiar with the scales as you learn to play the piano. You kind of have to study the scales some. One of my teachers, Sayadaw Utejaniya, compared this process of beginning to learn about how the aggregates work in our minds. He compared it to kind of learning to read. He said, we have to first learn the letters. We learn the shapes of the letters, and then what that letter represents, and what sounds it might make. And then we begin to see how we string letters together to create words. So C, the letter C and the letter A and the letter T. At first we see them as individual letters, but then at some point we see it as the word cat. All of them functioning together to create that word. But at first we have to kind of learn the building blocks. And so there is some measure of study to some extent, or curiosity perhaps about experience. What is the feeling here? And I think it's also useful to think of an exploration around the aggregates as also being balanced with the simplicity that Gil was speaking about this morning. Just keeping the practice really simple, recognizing what's obvious. Not looking for anything in particular, just available to receive what is already happening. And by the way, what is already happening are the aggregates at work. What is already happening happens to be these processes at work. And so keeping it simple, what can start to happen kind of from another direction? We might kind of think about coming at the, or kind of exploring this world of the aggregates from the perspective of what we've heard about, and try to understand it in our mind and see it in our experience. We're coming at it from kind of that direction. And then also, just from the perspective, or just from the direction of just being with experience moment after moment. And these teachings that we're offering are a kind of condition, we could say. We describe in words, we describe with analogy sometimes, we describe these experiences that can be seen, can be recognized. We describe how we might recognize the aggregates working, how we might recognize perception at work, how we might recognize feeling at work. And that description, that teaching, is a condition that enters into your mind and then sometimes without trying to look for things, simply by being with experience moment to moment, having had the experiences described, we begin to recognize them in experience. And so sometimes the seeing of these processes at work can come about not by trying to find them or trying to look for them, but through simply being with what's obvious in this moment. What's obvious? The looking side, if we're thinking about and looking for experience, trying to recognize how these things are working in our experience, that takes some, it's using some of the cognitive, intellectual part of our mind. And really can be very useful to do this at times. And in using that cognitive or intellectual part of the mind, it kind of, well, it's a good way to say this. Maybe we could say that intellectual or cognitive part of the mind that's thinking about the aggregates and looking for things in experience. That's taking some of the mental energy, it's using a certain amount of mental energy. And so that looking process actually can obscure sometimes some of what can be seen. So I think it's useful to think about coming at this exploration from two sides. One, make the exploration at times be curious. And sometimes keep it really simple and see what's revealed. Just see what is naturally recognized in experience. What's obvious moment after moment? Let go of the looking. Let go of the trying to find and figure out. And you might see or might find that some even more kind of subtle understanding of the aggregates can arise when we're not trying to look for it or figure it out. So, all that said, today I'd like to go into the perception aggregate a little bit in more depth. And it may sound like I'm suggesting that you look for these things. Hold that lightly. Hold it lightly. What I offer today can kind of be a pointing to things you might be able to recognize or kind of be curious about. And it may also just be something that it can be understood as a description of something that might be seen. If you simply settle back and let your experience reveal itself moment after moment, I would say in my own practice, the clarity of seeing some of these processes at work has only happened when I was not trying to do it, but when I was simply available to be with the experience. So perception, this is a process in the mind of recognizing experience. In talking about how we experience the world, Gil gave a number of examples of this yesterday. There's a contact with sense, with the senses, an appearance. That appearance is the kind of the meeting of the sense door and the sense object and consciousness. We have this appearance. This appearance is mental. It's in the mind. And that we feel in every experience is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. That also is a mental creation of mind, a feeling tone of experience is not inherent in the object, in the experience. It is conditioned, it is constructed based on how that experience meets our system, our history, our conditioning, the context that we're in. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral arises, experienced. With that also comes some kind of recognition, recognizing what the experience is. At the simplest level, I would say the recognition might be just whether it's a sight, a sound, a smell, a taste, a touch, or something happening in the mind. There's a recognition that there's been some kind of contact. But perception is, it's an amazing thing, actually. Perception is kind of what helps us to navigate the world. Perception helps us orient to what's happening around us. Like when I look at this room, I see people, I see walls and floor and zabutons and cushions and doors. All of those kind of objects or things that are experienced, those are recognized because I've had experience with them before. I mean, at the bare level, there's at the basic level of what's being contacted with the eye is just light hitting the eye. There's form and color. And the mind, through its history, through its experience in the past of doors and walls and floors and people, recognizes these things. But this is perception. It's connected with memory. It's connected with our history of having been in contact with experience and sometimes been told what it is. Often, I think, told what things are, and we create a label for them. And so our mind recognizes experience in this way. So perception is kind of layered. There's the simple recognition of perceiving or recognizing, oh, there's a sight, there's seeing happening. And then it might be a little bit more refined person, might be more refined, the gender of the person might be more refined, the name of the person, if we recognize them, if we know them. These perceptions kind of can build on each other. Sometimes we can see this happening. On one retreat, I was starting to see various aspects of perception at work. And I was sitting outside, and I turned my head, and my glance fell on a shape. And the mind recognized the shape in a couple of different layers. The first thing it recognized was the color, green. The next thing it recognized was a little bit about something of the form, the shape, jagged. The next thing it recognized was a name for the experience, a name for the sight, a leaf. I saw that process happen. It happened very quickly in the mind. Green, jagged leaf. It's the identification of the experience, seeing how perception builds on itself. Perception is a process that happens, and it's a really good thing that it happens because it does help us to navigate our world. It helps us to recognize what's happening, to walk across rooms and walk through doors instead of crashing into walls. Perception helps us to move through the world. So it's not something we're trying to stop from happening. It really helps us to live. And yet we do kind of get confused or make some mistakes around perception. Which I'll talk about a little bit more in a bit. We can begin to explore, get curious about, again, this is the difference between, just to point to the possibility that we might be curious about exploring perception proactively, intentionally, and we also can think about this whole discussion as being just a pointing to something that might be able to be seen or recognized, as opposed to something to do. So perception the way we experience perception is often as a kind of a quiet thought in the mind, some kind of the recognition of an object can come in different forms. For me, the exploration around perception has come most easily, or maybe in the first place it began to be very noticeable to me, to be more easily seen, is when I hear something. My eyes are closed, I'm sitting in the meditation hall, and a sound comes to the ear. So there's the sound, that's the form striking the eardrum. We may notice it pleasant or unpleasant. And then there's a recognition what the sound is. It may be recognized as woodpecker, a bird, woodpecker. Now, how that happens, how we recognize it as woodpecker, you might be curious about this. This is something that can be seen. Sometimes we recognize, or the experience of recognition comes as if we have a word coming into our mind, like we say it to ourselves, woodpecker. Or a motorcycle goes by and our mind says motorcycle. Sometimes that's how perception works. As if we're hearing, you know, it comes almost through the modality of it, as if we were hearing ourselves tell ourselves what it is. That happens quite a lot. Another way that it can happen is as if we were seeing an image. Sometimes I've been sitting and hear the sound. At one retreat center I sit at, there are trains that go in the distance, and I'm sitting and I hear the sound of the train, and my mind creates this image of a train going through this forest. I see the recognition. It doesn't say the word train. It recognizes it with an image. Now, this is another way that we might recognize, or that we might see perception at work. So we might start to see that happening. Sometimes people have started to see this and think it's their mind labeling experience, like that they're just talking to themselves and telling themselves what they're seeing. And that, to some extent, is what's happening. Our minds tell us what we are experiencing, and it comes through these modalities, as if we're hearing ourselves talk, that word, crow, woodpecker, motorcycle, train, or seeing an image. People think that sometimes say, you know, a lot of times people mention this after they've done a lot of labeling, a lot of, you know, using the noting practice. And then they start recognizing that these labels are happening around experience. And what I often will ask is it something you're consciously doing? Can you stop doing it? It may be perception that you're seeing. It could be the habit of labeling. I mean, it could just be that the mind is in the habit of labeling things. But sometimes what you are recognizing there, when it seems like, you know, we start to, as the mind gets a little more quiet, as there's a little more continuity of mindfulness, this can be seen. And sometimes meditators think they're just thinking more when they're actually recognizing perception at work. So this can be seen, this process of recognizing. Perception is usually pretty simple recognition. It can quickly move from being just a simple recognition into thinking about. Gil mentioned this morning, I think, with respect to the motorcycle, right? You hear the sound, there's the recognition of motorcycle, then you start thinking about motorcycles. Start thinking about where that motorcycle is going. Oh yeah, that road goes to the beach. Oh, beach, motorcycle to the beach. That sounds like a really good idea. That's all thinking that follows on from the perception. It's really helpful to notice the difference or the kind of the shift from a simple recognition, motorcycle, to the thinking about. I would say that a lot of the reason why our minds get lost in meditation, why we lose touch with the present moment, is because there has been some perception, something that has happened in our experience that was perceived, that wasn't clearly recognized. We didn't notice. Perception of motorcycle. If we had noticed perception of motorcycle, it may have actually kind of stopped there. Just, oh, that's how the mind recognizes motorcycles. In this case, it recognized it by seeing an image of it. If we don't notice the perception, if we're not aware that a perception has happened, so quickly our mind will jump onto a perception and start thinking about it. And that's where our minds often go out away from mindfulness. So that kind of shift or recognizing how the mind quickly shifts from recognizing an experience to thinking about it. We can catch a few thoughts and know that thinking is happening. And again, that might support the ability to stay more present with the present moment experience. Thinking is also the arising of an aggregate, right? It is a mental formation aggregate. Thought that arises. It can also be known. It can be recognized. But often that particular appearance is one that we have a habit of getting lost in. And so if we can begin to be curious about this, the difference between thinking about and recognizing, that can support us to stay present a little bit more. Gil mentioned that the aggregates become, as we go through the step into the teaching of the aggregates, form, feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness, that they become successively more subjective as we go. And so perceptions are actually, we think of perception as just being like, oh, I see a door, you know, that's a door. It's just kind of the fact of door. And we don't really recognize how subjective it is. Now, maybe a door is a little less subjective than some other thing, a little more less subjective than some other things. But all of our perceptions, how we recognize things, it's shaped by our conditioning, what we've experienced in the past, our relationship to that experience in the past. And so our perceptions are, you know, sometimes we think of our experience, our sense experience in particular, as being like our eyes are like cameras receiving images and our ears are like microphones receiving sounds. And it's just the pure sound and then being recognized. But what is recognized is shaped, is conditioned by all of our past history. It's also shaped by our conditioning, our physicality as human beings. It's shaped by so many things. So, for example, you might see a person in the distance across the street or something, and recognize perhaps the gender of the person. So perceive the gender of the person. You might perceive the appearance of the person. And then you might also have a feeling, a kind of a perception of the person. And this is, you know, shading into mental formations, but it may also be just that the sense of this person is unfriendly. And there may be a kind of a perception of the person is unfriendly. Now that, all of those perceptions are kind of based on our prior conditioning, and that perception of the unfriendliness of somebody might be connected to that there was somebody in your life of that gender with that kind of physical appearance who had not been kind to you. And so it's like our past, our history, our emotional history, our the history of how we have been in relationship with things in the past, that kind of comes into the present moment. And so we are not simply like cameras and microphones receiving information in a very pure way. We are already shaped and informed by our past conditioning. So our perceptions, how we recognize experience, is deeply personal, in a way personal, and yet also deeply impersonal, because it is just a process of conditioning unfolding, just a process of conditioning at work. Personal, it's personal in the sense that it's shaped by the conditioning of this being, shaped by the experience this being has had, will influence how we perceive things, how we take things in. So our perceptions are subjective. They are shaped by our prior experience. And our perceptions also shape or affect or relate to what happens, how things unfold for us. I'm going to give you a story, tell you a story from my own practice around an experience I had on a long retreat where a perception shaped a whole host of experiences. And then at some point I realized the perception was completely wrong. This this is a very interesting place to explore what happens when we recognize that our perception made a mistake. And perception is a mental process. It's not perfect. It is definitely not perfect. It can make mistakes. The classic example of this is a snake and a rope confusion, you know, walking into a room or a barn perhaps, and seeing a coiled form in the corner. You know, the mind might think it's a snake and have all kinds of responses based on that. And then somebody comes in and turns the light on. It's like, oh, it's a rope. So the perception, the recognition of the perception, you know, that perception was shaped by prior history and also shaped by the conditions of the dimness of the light, perhaps. So a whole bunch of things came into shaping that. And then when the light comes on, we could see that it's not what we thought it was. And so all of those reactions just, whew. So in my case, I was practicing in Burma, and the room that I was in, I was mostly practicing in my room, was kind of close to the monastery wall, and all kinds of sounds came over the monastery wall, you know, floating in from the village. Sounds from loudspeakers, children playing, you know, just stuff happening. And at a certain time each day, I began recognizing that there was a kind of a squealing sound that happened. And this squealing sound, the perception that I had, the recognition was that it was a pig. I had heard pigs squealing. This sounded like a pig. I didn't think about it. It's just like, oh, that's a pig, right? So that was the perception, that it was a pig. And then hearing this pig every day, a regular time, hearing this squealing, I began having the experience that this squealing was a distressed squealing. Now, I knew that I didn't know what was happening to the pig. I knew I did not know that. But I had this idea that happened with that kind of perception of distress. And there was the sound of the pig and the perception that it was distressed. I knew that was an idea that I didn't know that the pig was distressed. But the idea was created that, oh, there's a butcher shop on the other side of that wall. And this is the butcher slaughtering the pig each evening. Now, this is what my mind did. Now, I knew that was thought. I knew that was thought, but still, it affected. So the perception of pig, the perception of distressed pig, this idea of what it was, so that's moving into mental formation, the idea of what it was. And so all kinds of things arose from that, you know, compassion for the pig, a sense of, you know, some pain for that, that was maybe what was happening. And again, I knew that that was not, I did not know. I knew that I didn't know that that was what was going on. But still, all of that was coming up around that perception. And then one day, instead of sitting in meditation at that time of day, I decided to take a walk. I was walking outside and heard the squealing sound again. And also noticed that there were these bats flying around. They were coming right at me. It was kind of startling, actually, that they would fly right up to you and like you could feel them going by. And the bats were squealing. In all of that experience that I had, where I was noticing all of what was going on there, I had seen that the distressed sound was a construction. I had seen that the idea of it being a butcher shop was a construction. I had not seen that the idea of pig was construction. It was quite a surprise. The entirety of that whole thing had been based on the sound that had been misinterpreted, had been misperceived. Now, I mean, I don't think of that part so much as delusion, that I misperceived it, because I don't think I'd ever heard bats before. I'd heard pigs before, and they sounded kind of similar. So, you know, that was what the mind did. It made a mistake. It made a mistake in kind of going into the memory banks and saying, oh, squealing sound, that's pig. It had made a mistake, because that's what the best job it could do at that moment to identify that sound. So I don't think of that as delusion so much as just that process being imperfect. Now, the believing that it was a pig, that was delusion. And that's what happens with perception a lot. You know, we recognize something. And the entire thing was in my mind. The entire thing was in my mind. The idea of pig was in my mind, but the mind had believed there was an actual pig out there. That this process of taking our perceptions to be what is actually happening, this is a big part of where we get caught. We believe our perceptions to be the reality, to be the reality of experience, as opposed to a pretty good reflection of reality most of the time. What we are experiencing, this, the process of the aggregates constructing experience, all that we experience, everything that we experience is entirely created in the mind. And we are responding to what is created in the mind. If we don't know that this is the process that's happening, we are going to get caught, get stuck. The process of suffering in so many ways Well, the process of suffering itself, the clinging, the holding on to things, the wanting things to be a certain way, the pushing away things we don't like, the holding on to things that we do like, that process itself is the mind doing something. That is also an aggregate at work, the mental formation of clinging, wanting things to be a certain way. And the teachings point to how that wanting things to be other than they are, wanting to hold on, wanting to push away, that that's where our suffering is created. But it's a little bit of a surprise, perhaps, to begin to recognize that what we want, what we are craving or wanting to get rid of, is also a construction of the mind. Because all that we know, all that we experience is something that our mind has created. That's all that we know. It's a pretty good reflection of what's out there. But our experience is entirely mind-made. And so what we want is an idea in the mind. We think we want what's out there. We think we want something that's objectively out there. But when we look at it, We start to be curious about the wanting and what is it that I really want? We see that it's something that our mind has created. At one point at IMS, during one of the 3-month courses, I was experiencing a lot of suffering around wanting a particular meditative experience. Teachers had been describing certain things that sounded like cool things to see, and I really wanted to see them. I wanted to have that perception. I wanted to see the things that they were talking about. And I was watching the suffering going on there, watching, seeing the stress, the feeling of tension around it. And I began recognizing that just the feeling of leaning, like, oh, I so want that. And oh, I'm not succeeding unless I see that. All kinds of painful mental formations around not having the perception that I wanted to have. Not being able to see the thing I wanted to see. And then at one point I had this kind of recognition or experience where I was aware that I was thinking about talking to my teacher about having seen the experience, never having seen the experience. But I was fantasizing. I was, having this image of talking to my teacher about having seen this. I was describing it to my teacher, and we were laughing and kind of celebrating together. This was my image. And seeing that, I realized, oh, actually what I want here is not that thing, because I don't know what that thing is. What I want is to be seen as somebody who has seen something. That really kind of helped the mind to let go. It was clinging to something that the mind had made up. And thought it was suffering because it didn't have a perception that it wanted to have. So we actually cling to perceptions. That's all that we cling to what the aggregates create. We cling that the aggregates are creating experience. That's all that we experience, is this creation of form, feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness. Whew, those five processes coming up. That's what we're experiencing. It creates the clinging. It creates what it clings to. It's quite a process at work. And seeing it. Seeing that this process, seeing that that's what's happening, is very freeing. It doesn't inherently sound freeing in some way. I mean, just to see that the mind is making things up and then clinging to them and suffering over it, that doesn't sound like it would be very freeing, but it is very freeing. When the mind sees that, it understands that it's suffering over something that it is doing. It's making it up. And that seeing, when the mind sees that it is participating in the suffering, that it's creating the suffering, the mind understands, the mind begins to find its way to let go of that clinging. And it is through the seeing, it is through the recognizing the experience the processes of how our experience is created. It's through seeing that the freedom, the wisdom begins to strengthen. The wisdom begins to grow that supports the mind to let go of all of these ways that it habitually clings to things. The clinging is based on the idea that there is actually something to cling to. When the mind sees there isn't actually anything to cling to, it kind of begins to give up the project. So this mindfulness is an amazing thing, really amazing. And we get to see, it can be so much fun to see the mind at work. And it can also be really humbling and really challenging. It takes a lot of courage to do this. And that courage will, if we have that courage, it supports us to continue to see and gradually the mind begins to, the wisdom begins to slowly, gradually wear away the tendency to cling. That's a slow process. That's another reason why it takes courage. It's not like when we think, oh, if I saw this, if I saw, you know, that the mind is making this up, why wouldn't it just stop doing that? It's much more deeply conditioned. We can't turn it off. We can't just stop it. But the continued meeting of experience moment after moment helps to wear away, slowly wear away at those habits of clinging, identification, greed and aversion and delusion. So I'll end with just a reminder that this has been a lot of words, a lot of information. And maybe this, you can just have the image of this talk as kind of just being like, you've been soaking in the Dharma, raining the words, you know, like Dharma rain, soaking in. That soaks into the ground and naturally would be taken up by plants to grow. And very similarly, you don't have to do much with these words. Just continue the practice in a really simple way. And maybe this Dharma rain will support the flowering of seeing something new, seeing experience in a new way, without your trying to do it. So you don't have to remember anything I've said. Isn't that great? Just keep practicing. Keep it simple. What's obvious? What's here right now? Let's just sit for a moment. Thank you for your attention.